In China, people now live to an average age of 70 compared to 52 only two generations ago. China's population of 110 million senior citizens is expected to swell to nearly 400 million by 2025. At that point, they would represent one-fourth of all the elderly people in the world. China recently enacted a law that places the main responsibility for caring for the elderly on their families. It also states the government should develop a social security system. As Anthony Kuhn reports now from Beijing, the country known for respecting its elders now faces a potential crisis in caring for its oldest citizens.
On a recent fall day, across from the Temple of Confucius in Beijing, a group of amateur opera buffs gathers to listen to 79-year-old Li Junquan, a retired Peking opera singer, tell a tale of an old man living in poverty. Li peers through his thick spectacles and reflects on how attitudes towards the elderly have changed during his lifetime.
Our country used to be like that. You would say it's feudal, but feudalism has its good side. From one generation to the next, if you were disrespectful to your elders, folks would revile you. But in our economic-centered society today, people have only money on their minds. They toss their parents and family aside.
In fact, in Chinese laws since the 6th century, abuse of the elderly was one of the 10 great crimes, along with assassinating the emperor or fomenting rebellion. All such crimes against the state and its Confucian ideology were punishable by torture and decapitation. Today, neglect of the aged is still frowned upon. Under China's current criminal law, deadbeat offspring who refuse to support their elders can be sentenced to up to 5 years in prison. Yan Li is a 60-year-old retired steel industry technician in Beijing. Her 89-year-old father, who recently suffered a crippling stroke, is often incoherent. So Yan installed him in the Songtang Hospice, China's first private facility for the terminally ill. Yan explains her motivation for the move.
At home, he wouldn't sleep at night. He would talk and sing at all hours. My sister and her husband have to go to work in the morning, and they couldn't take it. We got no rest. Every minute at home was spent with the old man. His needs were endless.
Traditionally, the model Chinese family had three or more generations under one roof. Now, demographers say 30% of Chinese 65 and older live alone or with a spouse, while 70% live with family. Experts predict that by the middle of the next century, over 60% of China's senior citizens will face the end of their lives alone, in part because claustrophobic families like Yan Li's want privacy.
We tried to hire a young peasant to look after him, but our apartment is too small and there were lots of friction. At home, he was very lonely. At the hospice, he meets many more people. When I took him there, I said to him, "My work is a contribution to the state. Your staying at the hospice is your contribution to my contribution to the state."
But the state can do little to ease the burdens of families caring for seniors. China's 800 million peasants, most of whom have no pensions or nursing homes, have little guarantee of social security except the traditional method of producing more children to support them. The cradle-to-grave welfare benefits urban workers used to enjoy are now being dismantled in the rush to a market economy. Much of the responsibility for the current crisis lies with the state as well. The Communists' revolution tried to erase a tradition of filial piety and replace it with loyalty to and dependence on the government. Their family planning policies first created a population explosion and then reversed it with the one-child policy, which has left fewer young people to care for the elderly. But Professor Chen Xianhui of Shanghai's Fudan University Population Research Institute says that elders are now less demanding of care from their children.
It's very different from before. In past, there used to be a saying that if the parents are still alive, the children should not be far away from them. Now, the opposite is the case. Parents mostly want their children to be successful and, if possible, go overseas to make more money or do important things.
To ease society's burden, new institutions like the Songtang Hospice have been established in recent years, but they're a drop in an ocean of need. Only 1% of China's elderly are currently institutionalized. Songtang houses around 80 patients, averaging about 76 years old. The hospitalization fees of around $20 a month are expensive for most working-class families, but this barely allows the institution to survive. Songtang's director, Li Wei, was inspired to start the hospice while serving as a poorly equipped doctor in Inner Mongolia during the 1960s. One of his patients was a teacher who had been labeled a rightist and was banished to the countryside where he was dying of cancer. Without anesthetics, Li decided to comfort the man as best he could with a lie.
I said, I have good news. Yesterday I went to the commune leaders. They said you were a good person and that they would remove your political label. I was just trying to comfort him, but he grabbed my wrist in excitement. He died that evening, feeling happy and satisfied. I thought, why not provide the dying with some comfort and human dignity?
China's painful struggle comes down to how that comfort and dignity is rationed among the living and the dying. In past, it was the children who were expected to make the sacrifices. Now everybody has to learn to share. For National Public Radio, this is Anthony Kuhn in Beijing.